Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. Every Sunday. And I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of good information for you today. And hopefully you have your paper and pencil ready. Because it might save you some money. But before we get going, we have to do a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And I'll tell you what, it's a great group of people. It really is. And if my magic button here will let me work, we'll go right to that page. And there's the Trim Radio Network, and you can see what we've got there. I'll tell you what, you can do your own show. It's very easy to do. You can join us, and you can listen to our shows. It's very easy to do. The Trim Radio Network has been in existence for few years, and we're just getting into the total internet use of things. Okay, generally we were, before that we were radio, a little radio station out of Columbia, South Carolina, in basically based in Irmo, which is not far from Columbia. It's very close, very nice area too. But the Trim Radio Network's decided to make a change, and we're worldwide. We have been for quite a while. And I'll tell you what, we reach a lot of different people. For example, I have people from Myanmar. I have people from India. I have people from South Africa, from Europe, from the United States, North America, listening to the show. And it's available and it's free. And we talk about a lot of different things. And we basically, you know, we don't snow you like a lot of other radio stations do. You know, we tell you the truth. And that's the way we operate. So, you know, check us out, all the different shows. You know, so here's our main page. And you can take a look at our story. Just click on that. And then eventually it loads. There it is. The magic boxes go zooming around. And it talks about us and what we do, our co-founder, Michael Bejas. And you know, we're all friends. We like to have a lot of fun, and we have that in our shows. And now our creators, now you take a look at the different people that we have creating. Again, we have those magic boxes. We'll have to speed those up a little bit. But, you know, we've got different shows. We've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. That's every Wednesday live. We can talk about anything we want to talk about and have a little bit of fun and a little bit of comedy. Then we have Money and Change every Sunday. And during concert season, if I'm playing a concert, it'll be an encore edition. If not, it will be live. We also have the Red Pill Reality Show with, of course, Ruscala Stefan. And we have Life Walk with Christ God and other shows. So you can check us out. It's very easy to do. And you can go to our channels. You can check our live stream, our vault, which is our reruns or encore editions. And events, schedule, and community. We have collectibles. Yes, we do. If you click on the collectible part, it says shop, and you click on that. Oh, the magic boxes are going to come up. I know it. I know it. They're going to come up. There they are. And spinning along, we have t-shirts. We have hats. We have mugs. And we have morphing mugs, all kinds of stuff. All you have to do is check us out on the collectibles. Now, what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what. By purchasing the merch, as Michael calls it, the money that goes into purchasing the merch pays for airtime on the internet, because believe it or not, we have to pay for airtime. And you don't see us with a lot of commercials. We really don't. We don't get paid for doing anything. And all we want to do is cut the bull and serve the truth. That's the basic line of the whole operation here. So you want to check us out, buy the merchandise, help support us, and keep us on the air. Now, if you take a look at our Facebook page, yeah, guess what? There we are on our Facebook page. And like I posted today, join me for a live edition of Money and Change on trimradio.com, 7 p.m. Sunday. And if you scroll to the bottom in the comment section, it will cover all kinds of stuff that we're covering. And it's all there. Okay, we can talk about a lot of different things. And I'll tell you what, that's the neatest way to put all of the information there, and there's plenty of it. I just posted a whole bunch of stuff today. And you can go there and check things out. And, you know, if we mention things on the show and you say, hey, I want to go back and revisit that, do you have to listen to the whole show? No, you can just go to the articles. How's that? That works, doesn't it? So anyhow, that's our Money and Change / Financially Prep page. People say, oh, what's it cost to join? Absolutely nothing. It is free. That's F-R-E-E. All you have to do is send us on the comment page and say, hey, I really want to join Money and Change / Financially Prepped. How can I do it? And all you have to do is just go to Facebook, request, and we'll go ahead and approve you and put you in the whole group. Okay, it's a public group. But if you want to join and get all the updates and so forth, all you have to do is just go and request. That's all you ask, and it'll be given to you. Okay. All right, so we've got that. So check us out, and we do several postings during the week too, and good information. Oh, a big shout out to the University of Findlay. Yeah, the University of Findlay. Hey, school's about ready to start. I believe it starts maybe the second week of August or the third week of August. And so, you know, it may be too late to get the fall semester in, but you can get the spring semester in by applying. And I'll tell you what, it's a great school. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be telling you about it. Trust me, I've been to 6 different colleges and universities, and there are some that I'll tell you about and some I won't. And I'll tell you what, the University of Findlay is one of the better ones. And they have a 12-to-1 student ratio to faculty ratio. We have over 3,000 students. Generally, some semesters it's like 4,000 students. Some are internet, some are on campus. We have people from 32 states and 51 countries going there. And it's a good school. It really is. Dr. Kathy Fell has the presidency there, and she's done an absolutely great job along with the faculty. Good facilities. Great town in Findlay, Ohio. Check them out. The University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, I have to tell you guys about something. I don't need to show you that, but I need to tell you something. Well, I can't. Did I get out of that? You know, I'm getting a trigger finger anymore. Well, I hit the wrong button sometimes. Drives me up the wall. David Gilmore on YouTube has over 700 videos. And out of the 700 videos, Dave really got me going on GMRS radios. You know, ham radios, you have to take a license and you have to study and study and study and take your license. It has three different areas or licenses. GMRS, you don't have to study. $35. You fill out the application to the FCC for $35. You get your license. There's no test. The license is good for 10 years. It's easy to renew. And anybody in your family can use that license as long as they behave and follow the rules. Okay? So get yourself a good GMRS radio and a license. This is an Ocean 935G Plus. And I'll tell you what, it has a Nagoya 771G antenna. And people say, well, why do you mention that? Well, because it's the antenna that really gets you out in distance, depending on the height you're at. Now, where I'm at in Ohio, I'll tell you what, I can get on this radio, I can talk 35 miles away to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, and from there, 90 miles beyond that. And that's a good deal. You meet a lot of friends on here. I mean, I could be on here at 11 o'clock at night. And have friends in Xenia, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, as far as Wilmington, Cincinnati, and sometimes I get Lancaster, Ohio, which is amazing. And that's over on the eastern side of the state, or I'll go into Indiana. It's a good deal. And if the weather gets bad and you have storms and you have tornadoes and so forth, it's a great emergency radio to use with your family. If everybody in your family had one of those GMRS radios and something really bad happened, that the cell phones weren't working, your phones weren't working, the GMRS radios will work. Just keep them charged up. That's all you have to do. And that's why I keep talking about GMRS radios. If you take a look at David Gilmour's LDS Prepper website on YouTube and look at his GMRS radios and how they really like those things. He set up a chat group for members of his family. I think they were chatting up to, I believe, 65 miles away. It's interesting. It really is. And it's a hobby, but also you can take those radios on the road and contact people. And a lot of things you can do with them, okay? In an emergency, they come in handy. It's not CB radio and it's not ham radio. It's kind of in between, but I'll tell you what, it's a good setup. It really is. Wow, what else is going on? If I press the right buttons, you know, I can get somewhere. But this, somehow my mouse has been acting up lately and driving me nuts. You ever have that happen? Well, it's happened to me several times today. Oh, wow. At least 20 people get stuck 65 feet in the air. I wasn't going to cover that story. I really wasn't going to cover that story. Oh, I wasn't going to cover that story either. See what happens when you get trigger finger and things change? Oh, well, hey, guys, that's the way it goes. I'll tell you what. The biggest thing that's come up so far is Hulk Hogan. You know, he passed away. And I used to vacation a lot in the Clearwater area. And the Hulkster, he lived over in Bel Air, Florida, which is kind of like a suburb of Clearwater, Florida. Very nice homes. The Bel Air Country Club is over there. Matter of fact, it wasn't too far from his house. And it's an interesting area. I mean, you see a lot of mansions over there, and Hulk Hogan had a nice mansion. I mean, a nice mansion. And I'd go by that if I was going to go to Publix markets. I can't talk enough about Publix markets. I love them. We don't have them up here in Ohio. I wish we did. But I would go by Hulk Hogan's mansion. Plus a bunch of others. It was great. And just this last week, he had an episode and had to go to the emergency room. I guess, had a heart attack and passed away. But I can remember him going up and down the Intercoastal in his speedboat, or seeing him downtown in Clearwater Beach at his store. And everybody knew the Hulk. And when I heard that he passed away, I thought, oh no, that's some of the people that I knew down there in Florida. Well, I didn't know Hulk personally. I've seen him before. But it's just one of those things. I mean, he was like 71 when he passed. And that's kind of tragic. There's a lot of things I could talk about. Maybe I might talk about the Hulkster on My World on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Trim Radio Network. Anyhow, I found something today. Hulk Hogan's net worth revealed. You wonder how much money they make in the wrestling business. And sometimes they invest it and sometimes they waste it. I mean, totally waste it. And they get really lavish with their money. And some people like to save it. Well, anyhow, with Hogan's days basically over, he'll be remembered for quite a while. He made media appearances frequently, and he earned a ton of money throughout his career. And, you know, The Rock, better known as Dwayne Johnson, and John Cena, and a whole bunch of other, Little Jimmy, he was there, and so forth. I mean, you take a look and you say, well, how did he become famous? And it was simple and relatively straightforward. And Hogan was born Terry Gene Bollea in Augusta, Georgia. And he was raised in Tampa. And he had really good athleticism. But he invested his money. And he invested it wisely. Well, Hogan's net worth in 2025 was estimated about $25 million, according to Celebrity Net Worth, while other sources have pegged it in the $30 million range. Now, what's $5 million among friends, right? Well, the peak of his career was in the 80s, and his star power enabled him to defy McMahon and star in Rocky and all this kind of stuff, WWE. And he always battled the Iron Sheik and Gorilla Monsoon and everybody else. But I'll tell you what, he was really a nice guy. He would go to different places and just say hi to people, and he played the part. But he invested in a lot of different things. There was an article that came out about Hooters restaurants. And I've been to some Hooters before, and they're basically down in Florida. There were some others. And they were nice. They had reasonable food. But he invested into some. And there was one that he had on the causeway going over to Tampa from Clearwater Beach. And it was always on the way to the airport. And sometimes I would go ahead and stop there and eat at this place. And it was really a good restaurant. Well, anyhow, he had that one plus other enterprises that he invested in. And so his wife will be well taken care of, I'll put it that way. But that's a little tribute to the Hulk Hogan personality, I'll put it that way. What else is going on? Well, Trump and the European Union reached a tariff deal to avoid a trade war. And that's one thing that President Trump's been trying to do, is to avoid trade wars. He wants to be trading on an equal basis with everybody. You know, if people would say, oh, we're not going to charge anybody a tariff, that's fine. It's open trade. That would be one of the best things, wouldn't it? Well, in some cases, like I believe it was China was charging us 450% tariff on things that they didn't want us selling in their country. And I don't know, we were probably charging them 15, 20, 30% for things that we imported in. but we couldn't sell over there. So he's been making deals with a lot of different countries, and whether or not it's Vietnam or whether or not it's Thailand or Australia or the European Union, okay, they're, instead of having a trade war, they're going to start working together. And that's the best possible thing for everybody involved. So President Trump said he reached a trade deal with the European Union on Sunday, this last Sunday, avoiding a trade war with the U.S. largest trading partner and marketing his biggest deal so far in its attempt to remake the global trading system through higher tariffs for U.S. trading partners. And the pact comes less than a week before a Friday deadline for Donald Trump's higher tariffs to take effect on August 1st. That's the key, August 1st. And right now, the U.S. and China are negotiating again. It's, I believe it's a 90-day pause before these tariffs go into effect, we'll call it that way. But Trump said he would set a baseline tariff of 15% for European goods, including automobiles, which currently are, I believe, about 50%. Well, anyhow, he said steel and aluminum tariffs, which are currently at 50%, would remain unchanged. And he added that the European Union agreed as part of the deal to buy $750 billion worth of energy products from the U.S. And the European Union would agree to invest $600 billion more than previously in the U.S. So to summarize everything, the U.S. has agreed to purchase $750 billion in energy, invest $600 billion in the U.S. on top of existing investments, open up countries' markets to trade with U.S. at zero tariffs, that's important, purchase vast amounts of military equipment. Well, we make military equipment as well as other things. And I'll tell you what, we make cars, and some of our cars are just as good as the European cars. And like von der Leyen said, I think it's going to be great for both parties. I think your various countries are very happy about this, according to what Trump said, sitting alongside von der Leyen, who was in charge of the European Union. The terms disclosed on Sunday suggest that 15% is likely a new minimum tariff level for most American trading partners. So set it at 15%. Put everything on an equal basis. Charge 15% for everything. We charge 15%. The European Union charged 15%. And open up the competition, and if they make something better than we do, okay, that's fine. Can we buy their stuff? If they make something that's not as good as some of the stuff that we have, hey, then it's 15%. That's fine. It's competition. And that shows that President Trump happens to be a businessman. He knows how to make money. And he knows how to negotiate, which a lot of presidents didn't do. I got to hand it to the guy. He knows what he's doing. What else is going on? Oh, hey, the world's fastest growing jobs. And this was according to Zero Hedge. And I saw this today and I thought, hey, let's talk about it a little bit. You know, visual capitalists. Marcus Liu. He works for Visual Capitalists. And they do a lot of different graphics. And these graphics are fantastic. He's talking about the 15 growing jobs, the fastest growing jobs projected from 2025 to 2030 on a global survey of employers. So what do you have? Big D. data specialists, fintech engineers and financial tech engineers, AI and machine learning specialists, software and application developers. You look at things, big data specialists, 110%. Fintech is at 95%. AI and machine learning specialists are 85%. Software is 60%. Security management specialists, 55%. Data warehousing specialists, 50%. Autonomous and EV, electric vehicle specialists, 45%. UI and UX designers, 45%. Light truck or delivery service drivers, 45%. Internet of Things specialists, 40%. I wonder what the Internet of Things would be. And what is a thing? Maybe we can talk about that Wednesday. Well, anyhow, then we have data analysts and scientists. We have environmental engineers. We have information security analysts. We have DevOps engineers and renewable energy engineers. And they're saying that goes up until 2030. I don't know about AI, artificial intelligence. Sometimes I think there's artificial intelligence in Washington, D.C., but I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I wonder there's no intelligence in Washington, D.C. to come to think about. Anyhow, that's the projected jobs and the job growth areas. And I know locally, supposedly, we are supposed to get a big data center. And a big data center demands a lot of energy and a lot of water to cool the equipment. So we'll see. It all depends, right? What else is going on? We've got a bunch of ads. But five common mistakes people make when cash stuffing. You got to beware of the cash stuffers. Do you stuff cash? I don't know. I don't know. Anyhow, this is a senior writer, Ivana Pino. And she was writing and she said, from skincare routine to refrigerator restocks, there's always a new trend on TikTok. And that's quick to grab our attention. And lately, it's been cash stuffing, with videos showing budgeters neatly organizing their income into labeled envelopes and budget binders as they go over their spending categories and available balances. You need to check your balances and your budgets. I mean, that's common sense, but a lot of people don't do that. And if they did, they would know where their money is. Now, that's a good way to save money. You know that you get only so much money in each month, and you need to budget that money. And one of the ideas is to put money into envelopes. And so you say that you need to put $100 for utilities, $100 for gasoline, for transportation, $100. You know, you set up these envelopes and you use an envelope system. Well, that's okay if you're doing cash. What happens if it goes into your checking account as a direct deposit? How do you budget your money? Sometimes you have to know what you have to spend for each month, and that's why you develop a budget. There's only so much money coming in, and only so much money can go out, and you cannot overspend. If you do, then you're going to have to pay interest. Or if you can't pay, then other financial hardships will happen. Okay. So you develop your budget. And everybody has their own method. And you have to know what you spend each month. What do you spend on utilities? What do you spend on transportation? What do you spend on food? What do you have to spend on insurance? What do you have to spend for school supplies? We're going to talk about that today, too. What do you spend on Netflix, internet? What do you spend on hobbies? Do you like to go out and eat a lot at different restaurants? That gets expensive. You know, I went to a restaurant one time locally, and I had to pay for two people, myself and a friend, and I had a cheeseburger and fries, as did she, almost the exact same thing, and a drink, which was iced tea or Diet Coke, I forget what it was. And the total bill was $34. And, you know, I didn't gripe about the bill. I had to pay it because I ate the food. But you know what happened? I never went back there again. She said it was too excessive of a price for a basic cheeseburger and fries and a drink. And I agreed. So we never went back. They've lost customers. Well, as of a couple weeks ago, they posted a notice saying that they're not going to be open at night for a while. They're going to regroup and rethink. You have to know your market. They overestimated the market and they paid for a liquor license. It depends on the type of liquor license here in Ohio and the availability and so forth. And I'll tell you what. I think they're going to rethink and just stay open from six o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon and keep it that way and stay away from working evenings. And as far as the liquor license, that could have been a bad investment. But we'll wait and see. Wow, so much of different things to talk about. But budgeting, you have to know about how you budget your money, how you spend your money. It's cheaper to eat at home, but you know, you have to go out and eat sometimes. Sometimes you join a private club like the Eagles or the Elks or, you know, whatever, and the Moose, and they have cheaper meals there. And so you could do that. Hopefully they have good food. If they don't have good food, it wouldn't be worth going, would it? But you budget your money. And you try to stick as close to your budget. Live beneath your means is the big thing to remember. Live beneath your means. Because you can save money that way. And you could easily save money. Like I've always said, pay down your debt. Stay out of debt. Pay it down and get out of it. Put some money aside because you need an emergency fund. What happens if the car breaks down? What happens if you have a flat tire? What happens if the kids need new shoes and, you know, all kinds of little emergency things come up. So you need that emergency fund. Buy long-term food, canned goods, canned meats. Keystone meats are good, by the way. But build up a supply of food because you never know. You could be out of a job. Where are you going to get your food? You can't go out and eat anymore, so you better have enough stored up in advance. Make sure that you have your medications if you need them. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. Make sure you can purify and store water. Make sure you have those blue tarps. Just in case your roof leaks, you have to throw a tarp up there to keep the rainwater from coming into the house. A lot of things you have to consider. Make sure you have the right clothing for the season. I've said this for 15 years, maybe 16 years. And I hope I'm not preaching to the choir. Hopefully somebody's listening out there that really soaks this in. Because it's a necessary thing. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, no buy in 2025 trend could help you get your budget on track this year. Live beneath your means. Don't go out and buy a bunch of fancy stuff. Can you get by on your old computer if you just do a few little things to it? You don't need a new computer every 2 years or 3 years. You can go from Windows and start learning to use Linux. I'm considering it because I don't have to put up with all these updates. And I can configure my computer to the way I want to do it. And there are a lot of programs out there that mimic Office. Matter of fact, OpenOffice is free, and a lot of European countries use it, especially in their government offices. Well, what else is going on here? Sometimes, you know, getting your budget on track starts with a detox to wipe the slate clean and build new habits. Yeah, sometimes you have to flush that stuff out. And it's a no-spend challenge. Now, here, these guys are talking about banks and credit and so forth. Forget that. What not to buy in 2025? Okay, what's discretionary? Things that you don't absolutely need becomes a discretionary purchase. So what you have to do is say, okay, I'm not going to buy certain things in July. I'm not going to buy certain things in August. And gee, what do I have to get for school for the kids? You know, can I get some school supplies at Dollar General or Dollar Tree? Which really isn't dollar anymore. It's basically a dollar and a quarter is the minimum, or $1.50 is a minimum. But, you know, what can I save money on to do all this stuff? And so some people are saying, I'm not going to buy in July. Now, in Ohio, we have a tax. Well, it's no tax for school supplies. It will be, I believe, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And that way you don't have to pay tax on school supplies, or, you know, clothes, computers, if you need a computer, paper, pencils, things like that. Okay. And that's only in Ohio. Other states do their own thing, but no buy in July. It's called detoxing and living beneath your means. You can check that article out. Oh, hey, I've got a video for you. Speaking of international students earlier, I've got one for you. Here it is.
To the University of Finland. As an international student, we want to give you a preview of what you can look forward to as a future Oiler.
Really so excited to have the opportunity to welcome you to our campus. Here's what you can expect from your time here.
The University of Finley has nearly 100 academic programs to choose from at both the undergraduate and graduate level. Oilers have been exploring and pursuing their passions since the school opened in 1882. Over the years, we have been proud to welcome international students from all over the world.
There are a few key places on campus that international students should know.
Whether you just arrived or need temporary housing, our welcome houses are here to help.
The welcome houses are a great resource for new international students who are looking for a place to stay while they look for an apartment, either on campus or off campus.
If you arrive to campus after business hours, this will be your first stop.
The Office of International Admission is another great resource.
And the first place you'll go once you arrive, you can check in here and our staff will help you to get ready for orientation. Throughout the semester, you can also stop by for any questions you have about immigration or if you need any assistance during your time here.
To get started on your journey or to talk to someone in international admissions,
please send us an email at international@finley.edu. You can also follow us on Facebook.
We look forward to hearing from you.
Go Oilers!
And when I went to the University of Finley, we had students from Jordan, Israel, South America, Germany. I don't think we had anybody from Iceland, though. It's unusual to see people from Iceland at the University of Finley. We had students from Nigeria, Ghana. One of my best friends in our dormitory was from the University of, he went to the University of Nairobi in Kenya. He was trying to get me to do graduate work there. It's a good school. It really is. Check them out. Wow, what else do we have here? Oh, no, more ads. Average savings by generations. How do boomers, that's me, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z compare? Well, millennials save more than any other generation in 2024. And here's how the generations stack up. Well, if you take a look at everything past all these ads I like to sneak in here. Generation Z saved $6,164.67. Millennials saved $12,004.87. Generation X, $7,463.17. And the baby boomers, only $3,466.13. According to New York Life. Well, for baby boomers, it's probably because number one, we're all on retirement, and number two, the golden years, that's when the gold leaves because you're paying for all kinds of medical care. Whereas the millennials who were born 1981 to 1996 are in a very good employment situation. Okay, they're making the money. So you can take a look at the savings by generation. Wow, what's going on here? Oh, beef. I've got a video for you for beef. It's expensive. That's why sometimes I like to use Keystone beef. I'm not getting paid by them, but I like to use Keystone canned meat because it lasts quite a while, and you could do it a lot of different ways. They have ground beef, pork, turkey, chicken, and beef. And if the company comes over and you don't have really anything planned and you need some beef and noodles or chicken and noodles, hey, it's real easy. Get the noodles going and add a can of Keystone beef. I mean, it's easy to do. It's great. It's good stuff. If it wasn't, I wouldn't, you know, but I'm not getting paid to do that. But, you know, we've got inflation. And sometimes it's going to get worse. And right now, according to Yahoo Finance, we've got beef inflation. Three reasons why your burger is more expensive. So let's see what they're saying here.
For eggs, beef is the new highly inflated grocery store item on the shelves. Prices have increased over 8% so far this year, hitting $9.26 per pound as of June. That's according to the USDA. Here to break down the catalyst behind these rising prices is Michael Swanson, Chief Agricultural Economist for the Wells Fargo Agri-Food Institute. Thanks for being here. It's good to see you. So, you know, I don't know that beef and eggs are directly comparable, right? The egg prices were very volatile as we were seeing them sort of go up and then come back down. What's going on with beef that's causing these issues?
You know, it's interesting. You know, if you think about an analogy, you know, eggs are kind of a sports car. They really move in a hurry. Beef is more of a train. It kind of goes slowly. You can see things out in the future and you anticipate that. What we saw was a drought 2 or 3 years ago. Low prices really hurt their performance in terms of their profitability. And today they're just short cattle and it's going to take 2 or 3 years to fix the problem.
What effect, if any, do tariffs have on the U.S. cattle business?
You know, typically none in the past, but we're kind of in a new moment right now. We used to be kind of a net neutral for exporting, importing beef. We send out high-end steaks to Japan and China, brought in grind beef from Australia. Right now, we're 8% of our supplies coming from overseas. So that's not normal. That's kind of new. So we're going to have to wait and see what this means to the consumer at the end of the day, price-wise.
Well, I was also interested in this. I was reading into this, Michael. It's almost like oil, that there are certain kinds of beef that we consume in the U.S., ground beef, for example, that's sort of a different mix that is not necessarily all produced in the U.S. Can you explain that for viewers?
Absolutely. It's a great observation. So we usually finish the beef in a cattle yard. I mean, give them a super ration of corn and soybean meal, and just basically they're going to turn pretty fatty. And on the other side, a lot of the cattle that you're importing from outside the beef is grass-fed. It's out on the range, walking around, getting its exercise, so it's pretty lean. So we kind of blend the two together to get exactly what we want.
Oh no, the spinning wheel. Well, take a look at your beef prices. They're out there. And I'll tell you what, the beef prices are gonna vary. Sometimes, you know, you can go to a local farmer that has cattle, and when it comes time for him to sell the cattle, you might be able to work a deal where you could get half a cow. Okay, a quarter. And here locally, we can drive probably about 25 miles to a processor, and we can do that. And you can save money doing that buying in bulk than you can at the grocery store. So you want to check into that. Just a hint. Okay, let's see what else we've got going on. Oh, yes, school supplies. We were going to talk about that. And I've got to hit the right button. Boy, I've got a touchy mouse today. I mean, it is a touchy mouse, and I don't know why. But anyhow, let's go on this one. Back to school shopping is already in full swing, and it is.
It's already in full swing, with parents flocking to stores earlier than ever before. Now, according to the National Retail Federation, two-thirds have already started buying supplies for the upcoming school year this month. This, as families rush to stock up amid fears that President Donald Trump's tariffs will go into effect on August 1st and hike prices up even higher. For more on this, Chief of Policy Programs at the Century Foundation, Angela Hanks, joins me now. Angela, thanks for coming on. This is the time where families really try to stretch that budget, especially in those households with multiple children. What are some tips to really make that dollar stretch right now?
Yeah, so we're talking about back to school a little over a month before children typically go back to school, because we know that families are worried about an increase in prices due to the tariffs starting on August 1st. President Trump has said this is when the tariffs will go into effect. It's unclear whether that will be true or not, but certainly I think every parent knows that this time of year can be particularly stressful because there are a number of associated costs with your kids going back to school, whether it's backpacks or pencils or computers or food for school lunches. There are a number of expenses, and I think Americans are worried that all of those things will be made more expensive by tariffs this year.
Now, there are so many items that parents have to look out for to get their children. What are some of those items that may have a higher price tag per se?
Yeah, so I think one of the problems in this moment is that there's a lot of uncertainty about what those higher prices might be. Right now, there's a blanket 10% tariff on countries across the globe. There's a 30% tariff on China, which produces a number of the goods that people rely on for back-to-school shopping. And it's unclear what will happen with any of those tariffs come August 1st. Maybe there will be another pause. Maybe we'll see the tariffs that were announced in April go into effect and really see prices spike around these items. But we're already seeing some indication that prices are rising as a result of the tariffs. So just as an example, we saw inflation increase from May to June at 2.7% year over year. And we're also seeing some retailers like Walmart, like Amazon, the types of retailers that people tend to really shop with heavily for back to school items, raising prices. And I think simply because people are expecting to see their prices increase right now.
Now, Angela, another recent survey shows 39% say they can't afford back to school shopping, which is traditionally a significant annual expense. So what does that tell you about the overall financial strain American households are experiencing?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that people are really struggling right now. They're struggling with living in an era of high costs. They're struggling with the uncertainty of not knowing whether their prices are going to spike even further. And as a result of the budget law that was just passed, I think families are expecting to see additional increases in the future. The Republican budget bill that was passed earlier this month will cut healthcare for 17 million people, will create food insecurity for about a million school-aged children, and will raise families' electricity bills. So I think if families are watching what's happening on Capitol Hill and in the White House, they have cause to be concerned that the high prices that they're already struggling to manage are going to get worse over time, and that means a lot of belt tightening in anticipation.
So what are some possible community resources families can use or take advantage of that could make really this time a little bit easier on their pockets?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing what families are doing to try to figure out how to make ends meet in this moment. A lot of families, as you mentioned in the beginning, are starting their back to school shopping early. Typically we see families start to do this in August, closer to when the school year begins. Now they're starting in July because they don't know what's going to happen on August 1st. And so I think as much as families can sort of lean into the certainty that they do have, make those purchases upfront all the better. And then I think for policymakers, it's good to know that families are really struggling right now, and they need to be able to make sure that those in their communities who are having trouble affording backpacks or school supplies have their lives made easier, which is hard to do when the budget bill really does hit at Americans' pocketbooks.
It really does make it difficult, Angela Haynes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Kevin, you were on.
Well, I'll tell you what, they keep talking about the budget bill and cutting for, 11 million people. And I'll tell you what I look at it as being. When you take a look at cutting from the budget, 11 million people, don't you have 11 million illegal residents in the country? And so if you don't pay for that and all the freebies, that's where you're saving the money. And so when you have undocumented people in the country, that's where a lot of our money's going, according to a lot of sources. And so you have to watch that. But nevertheless, you need to budget. And you might have to budget your food. You might have to have hot dog Fridays. You might have to have Taco Tuesdays. You might have to live on soup. You can't have steak every day. You can't have fancy lunches or dinners every day. So you learn to economize on what you can afford and live a little bit beneath your means. You'll be able to save money and do very well. You know, usually school kids receive a list of everything that the school says you're going to need for your school year. And there's been a commercial out there, I think it was Walmart, and the teacher presents a list, and the one parent says, "It's even on the back of the paper." Well, yeah, it's a long list of stuff that they're going to need. Even when I was in school, way back before Methuselah. Well, not that far back, but you know what I mean. We're talking back in the 1950s and 60s. You had to have pens. You had to have pencils. You had to have paper, you needed a ruler, you needed a compass, and something to store things in. And sometimes you needed notebooks. And that was basically it. And now it's even more than that. So maybe we need to learn to economize on all the things, instead of having long lists of everything, simplify the list and simplify the amount of things that you actually need to learn. And that's a good way of doing it. Keep it simple. Or the KISS method. They used to say, use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Something to consider. But make sure that your students have paper. Make sure that they have pencils, pens. A ruler would be nice. Erasers, those are always good. You go through a lot of erasers, especially in grade school. Make sure that you have what you need for school. A lot of schools now provide Chromebooks. And sometimes Chromebooks are good things. Sometimes they aren't. And sometimes they like to say, well, we're going to introduce artificial intelligence. No, develop the intelligence that's out there with the kids. But the key thing is budget what you need. Buy what the kids need for school. Give them a healthy meal. Make sure that they get their exercise and make sure that you take time and help them to learn. And that's a key thing. You got to spend time with the kids. And I know you're working maybe two jobs and you can't afford to do that. It's just going to be a parental thing where you're going to have to. School gets expensive, and the farther you go in school, the more expensive it gets, especially when you go to college and you have to buy all of those books. And I guess now you just buy the programs and they go to your computers. Oh, well, things have changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't changed is budgeting your money, spending it wisely, living a little bit beneath your means, and make sure that you follow Money and Change every Sunday night on the Trim Radio Network. And with that, guys, hey, have a good week. We'll see you Wednesday at My World. We'll be talking about a whole bunch of stuff and have some funny stuff too. But with that, save your money, invest wisely, and have a good week. We'll see you Wednesday. See ya.